And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
I feel like Black Jesus.
We've seen the story before.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Guess who wasn't in the email? Whose name was not in the email? Zion's. Like, what the heck?
We'll start. We'll see 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes. Just try to be quick. Don't ramble. And don't couch. No couching.
I'm sitting on a chair. I think I'm okay.
And, guys ready? Is everyone recording?
Not here in New York, not in Los Angeles, in all 30 markets overseas, which is the pool that the actual voters come from. The voters believe. And you can disagree with them. You can present your own case. But as of today,
those that are of wealth, you know, that control the media and our ownership position, you know, they can kind of control the narrative of how it goes out there. So I'm understanding that, you know.
Do you believe?
Do you believe? Maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Now with a joke. What do you call a cow on the floor? Anybody know? Ground beef. That's it.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up on the show, MVP straw poll, the case for Cade, rehab time lord, Paul George back, and the Bucks got you sleeping. Happy National Crayon Day and Tater Tot Day. I don't know if those are combined, Jade, but let's just go with them. I'm Zach Harper. That's Jade Hoy producing in this corner. Born and raised in Boston, Massachusetts, Celtics beat writer and future author of the book, I Parked My Car in Harvard Yard. How to Lose Your Boston Accent in 10 Days. It's Jared. I might not be from Boston, Vice. Jared. Will the Lakers make the play-in tournament?
No. Why would the worst team in the NBA make the play-in?
Wow.
I would give that take if I was from like the middle of Wisconsin. I mean, the Lakers are a hot pile of garbage, and there's no schadenfreude watching them. It's honestly just sad.
No, it's great. I love it. And in this corner, Bay Area legend, author of two books about the Warriors and a brand new book on sale now wherever you get books, Dynasties, the 10 GOAT GOAT teams that changed NBA forever, the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, who will win the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship?
I don't care. How about that?
That's the correct answer. Yeah. That is the correct. All look, I've never been anti-Duke. I've never participated in that kind of.
I have been, buddy.
But hold on. Let me just get there. All right. I've never been anti-Duke. I've celebrated Grant Hill. I've celebrated Corey Maggette slapping the glass. Like I haven't been anti-Duke, and yet I am so sick of this Coach K nonsense. This goodbye farewell tour. Where he won't say goodbye and he won't bid farewell. That I cannot wait for them to lose to North Carolina. I can't wait. Go Hubie Davis.
Nah, you know they're going to win the tournament, right? You know, it's going to happen.
The refs, right? This is where I believe the refs are going to fix it.
Happen,
this
right?
is just.
I've been through this before with UNLV, with Fab Five. Every time a team captures the heart of the hood, there's Duke to ruin it. So, of course, it's going to happen again because this is what they do.
Mm. I think that fulfills the banter portion of the intro. Jade, start the clock. Take one. The defending NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks, in case you forgot. Tuesday night, Giannis and the Bucks sent a message to the rest of the league of just how good they are as they defeated the Sixers 118-116. Giannis scored 40. He dominated the game in critical stretches, including a game-saving block of Joel Embiid. Jade, play the tape.
Trying to get that screen from Embiid. And Harden steps back. He was going for the lead. Embiid with a putback. Not there.
Oh, what a block by Giannis.
Bucks found their extra gear in the fourth, and Philly could not match it. James Harden played well in the first half, was rendered useless once the Bucks cranked up the defense and someone whispered to him, it's the playoffs. Harden finished with 32 points and 9 assists, but just 3 points on 1-of-4 shooting in the fourth. Ah, the James Harden we all know and love.
Did you guys hear from me?
That's what I'm asking.
All right, so I don't know about the reports.
The Bucks and Sixers entered the evening tied for second in the Eastern Conference standings with an identical 46-28 record. Marcus, we'll start with you. Are the Bucks perhaps the biggest sleeper in the league despite being the defending champs?
No, this is crazy. This is what? Crazy. They're not a sleeper.
Nobody believes in them. Nobody believes in them.
I disagree with that.
No one believed in us.
I think people do believe in the Bucks. I think people don't want the Bucks to win because they don't like Milwaukee. They don't like the Bucks. They don't like the uniform to the vibe. I don't know what it is. It's just like San Antonio. They didn't sleep on anybody. Nobody just wanted them to win. So you know what you do? You pay attention to the team that you really want to win. Zach, you really want Miami to win. That's why you don't care about Milwaukee. You don't care at all about Milwaukee.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Check the power rankings, buddy. Who's the top East team in the power rankings last, I don't know, I think 3 weeks.
They're not a sleeper.
I don't have to give them their due. I've been shitting on the Jazz all year. Bleep that, Jade.
I don't think nobody sleep on the Bucks. Everybody knows how good the Bucks are.
Oh, everybody's sleeping on the Bucks.
People just don't want the Bucks to win. I don't know what it is. Maybe the Grayson Allen factor torpedoed their favorability rankings. But people just don't want them to win. They just don't. We love Boston's story now more. That's a cooler story, right? The 76ers. Nobody wants James Harden to win either. You're right. I just think people don't like the Bucks for some reason. If you watch this team, there's no way you can sleep on them. Period. They're top 10 in both offensive and defense. Well, they're probably not top 10 defensive records. They got to be up there, though.
No, I think they're like 11th or 12th.
They're about a little bit better than where they were last year. They're a really good offensive team. They still have arguably the best player in the game.
Arguably.
Milwaukee would make that case.
Well, KD didn't hear that.
the guy Jared, who I'm talking about don't believe it. Huh? He believes it's KD.
yeah, he does. Jared, I don't like Marcus's answer at all. Are the Bucks the biggest sleeper in the league despite winning the NBA championship this past year?
No, what the hell are you
talking about? Thank you, Jared!
Every time that I show up to an arena, we do the usual like talking to all the NBA people and media people about who are you scared of in the East. It's always Milwaukee number one. They have been the entire year. The entire year, everyone's been like, it doesn't really matter what the Bucks are doing right now. We're scared of them come playoff time, especially if they get Brook Lopez back and he's looking good. And that's happening. So, their defense isn't where it was before. They were missing one of the best centers in the NBA defensively. So they are clearly going to be scary. As we saw, the way that they closed out the fourth quarter against Philly. I mean, they were phenomenal at the end. And also, what kind of perverse real reality are we living in where Marcus is saying that the Celtics are the team that everybody is rooting for around the league?
Because that is definitely not the case.
We're just impressed with the way they're with this.
Are you serious? Like, Ime Udoka was about to get fired.
I mean, they're really good, but I don't know that we're rooting for them or like we're saying, oh, what a story.
We're waiting for this thing. If we're not rooting for Milwaukee,
the Grizzlies.
I thought we were talking about the Grizzlies, right? My bad. I mean, obviously, I'm rooting for
Miami so that I can then go to Miami for work when the Celtics hopefully face them later.
That's a good call. Yeah.
I don't want to go to Milwaukee.
We definitely want Miami Phoenix, right? Like, that's the best possible scenario.
I don't know about that. Phoenix is a nice place to be, but it ain't the Bay.
You're right. They have weather that makes sense.
I'm going to Phoenix this weekend, so I'll scout it out. We'll see how we feel.
You're never going to convince me on Bay Area weather, okay? I lived too close to it for too long. It's garbage. It changes every 9 minutes.
Lived in Minnesota. Wow.
That's exactly. At least you knew what you were getting there. It's not a terrible take.
That's all I know.
It's 60 degrees out of nowhere. It'll be sunny and 85, and all of a sudden it's 60.
We're not pulling out a violin.
Listen, I'll just say it was my first time in San Francisco like a week and a half ago. I really wanted to go see the Golden Gate Bridge. Went to Baker Beach, right? It was beautiful and sunny when I left and got in the Uber. By the time I got there, the fog was so strong I couldn't even see 100 feet down the beach.
Welcome to the Bay Area.
Welcome to the Bay Area.
Maybe Marcus just loves San Francisco now. He spent so much time there.
San Francisco. Wow. Yes.
The home of the Warriors. I know that hurts.
Home of the Warriors, yes. Home of the only NFL team.
Wow. Not really, though. Because that's just like an hour and a half south.
It's not even in San Francisco.
All right. Speaking of things that are back, it really makes sense as a transition, but whatever. Take two. Paul George is back. The long-awaited return of Paul George is now in the books as the much-maligned on social media superstar helped the Clippers defeat the Jazz 121-115. Let me tell you a little story that's off script here. Last night, Jazz are up 80-56 in the third quarter. I stopped paying attention to the game, went and hung out, watched a movie, just chilled, you know, had a little sushi. Then I was like, oh, open up the old Twitter machine. Open it up. I see all this praise for Paul George and the Clippers. I thought, well, what the hell happened? I go look at the score. Clippers win 121-115 out of nowhere because the Jazz are still the Jazz. PG finished with 34 points, 6 assists, 5 steals on 10 of 20 shooting, including 6 of 9 from 3, as the Clippers rallied from a 25-point deficit to win to snap a 5-game losing streak. This is the 12th time the Clippers have come back from at least 13 down to win this season, the fourth time they've rallied by at least 24 down to win. Clippers were down 76-51 with under 8 minutes to play in the third quarter when Paul George took over. PG with 20 points in the third that sparked a 32-12 run. It was a George drive and kick assist for a Luke Kennard three that helped seal the deal. Jade, play the tape.
George to Kennard, three-pointer is good! Luke Kennard!
While George's Clippers are currently eighth in the West at 37-39 and would face the Timberwolves in the play-in tournament if things stay put the way they are. So, Jared, does the return of Paul George change anything in your mind with regards to the Clippers' playoff outlook?
It does, because I mean, I was there for their run last year. This is such a well-coached team. I think they were really good over a series in game plan execution, staying ahead of the opponent with their adjustments, things like that. We've seen how they've stayed afloat this year without their two stars and how they keep making these comebacks. You get Paul George out there. I'm going to make the point that I think having your star helps you just not get into those holes. But last game is exactly what happened. And he also was terrible until the fourth, or I guess the second half when he started that comeback. But it'll even out eventually. I really like the way this Clippers team plays. They are built for the postseason. They have good center depth now with Hartenstein doing a good job as the backup five behind Zubats. They're a well-rounded team, and the one thing they were just missing is that high-potency guy that can get through the teeth of the defense in the playoffs, and PG's already showing he can do it.
On the other side of that, Marcus, what is wrong with your Utah Jazz?
The same thing that's been wrong with them.
Donovan Mitchell said, right? It's the same shit. It's the same thing as last year.
Literally, it's the same. You know what? That might have been the end of the Jazz right there. Didn't it feel like they realized it? Like, that was like the most, they saw themselves in a mirror, like, maybe it's us, right? When the whole thing has been about, oh, it's this, it's that, it's, you know, things aren't working out right, it's injuries. I felt like Paul George came back and put a mirror up and showed them, like, yo, this is who you are. And they owned it. Like, Donovan Mitchell was done with the Jazz last night. That's what it sounded like. He's like, you know what? yeah, we're really not that good. Like, and, you know, it was kind of like, yo, you finally see it. As someone who worked, Jared, as someone who works with, like, young adults and teenagers, there's something great about when a young person has this experience where they realize who they are, what they want to be, and how they're going to get there. The revelation of, this is,
I
want to
be the next
am,
Zach
right?
Harper. Right.
It's
yeah,
amazing.
That kind of thing.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Yeah, 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 yeah. Or I'm not the next Zach Harper and I need to do
right,
something
exactly,
about that. Right.
Yeah.
Like one of those, like I feel like the Jazz had that moment and I wonder if that means they're done because if it's in their head, you know, they came yeah. back and like, this is the same team that beat them in the playoffs, right?
With, yeah.
It's just like, they can't get right. They just can't get right. I think teams are lining up to play the Jazz in the playoffs.
I think Donovan Mitchell discovered his identity is not a Utah Jazz player in the future.
Yeah, I don't think he's a Jazz
sure
man.
Like
I think,
it.
Yeah,
sure.
I think that. Well, by the way, guys,
he's like, I like.
I don't know if you know this, but Julius Randle recently said he wants a trade apparently, and so I don't know, maybe you can do a Donovan Mitchell for a Julius Randle swap and just really affect everybody
that's
involved.
Get
Jared,
better.
So they're tanking, is what you're saying?
That's
I got you.
That's what they're doing. Yeah, exactly what they're tanking right now. Are we worried, Jared, about like not just maybe Mitchell or Gobert want to leave, but like there have been some pretty heavy, you know, talks about Quinn Snyder not being there after this year, not by necessarily the Jazz choice, but maybe he wants to move on to a different spot.
Yeah, there's been, I think what was so interesting is that there was that whole tug of war with him and Dennis Lindsay. He won the tug of war and then there was still concern that he was going to leave anyway. I guess he wasn't handpicked by ownership. He wasn't picked by Danny Ainge, a new CEO, but he's really good. Like, obviously, he's a very good coach. So the fact that this fire is still kind of rumbling tells me that I wouldn't be surprised if he bails. And I wouldn't be surprised if Danny Ainge just decides to blow this thing up, rebuild around Mitchell. Because, I mean, the one thing I've noticed from the games I'm watching with Utah is Donovan Mitchell is still attacking when the rest of the team is playing like crap. And I'm pretty certain they could build around him and they probably just want to retool around him, get some younger guys that are on his timeline and, you know, maybe move on for Rudy Gobert and find a new way to run your offense with a shooting center or a bunch of athletic wings or something like that. But I mean, hey, maybe this turns around, but the fact that this team is playing so disconnected and so listless heading into the playoffs, that's like a huge red flag.
Marcus, real quick about Paul George and the Clippers. Let's say they beat the Timberwolves. They get the 7th seed in the Western Conference. Should the Grizzlies be worried?
Absolutely. But I do think it's good for the Grizzlies to get a team like that because, you know, that's a team that could win a championship. If things go right for them, they could win a championship. And you're going to need that good wake-you-up team, right? The team will let you know you're in the playoffs now. And the Clippers, with absolutely nothing to lose, is hella dangerous, right? They're going to go in there. They're just going to chuck a bunch of threes. They're going to go ISO. They're going to spread you out. And they're going to live with the results because they don't even have Kawhi and they know whatever, right? We saw it last year. That's a team you really don't want to fight. When Terrence Mann feels like, there's no way I'm coming out of the game. Like, I can't do any wrong. So let's just chuck these things there. That's a free team is a bit scary. But I think that'll be good for Memphis. Like, it'll really try them in the way they need to be tried.
I don't think they need another like young team. Like if they end up facing the Timberwolves,
assuming they beat them,
I don't know how much of a test that truly is because the Wolves are still the Wolves. Let's go to more young player
what
talk.
What they really need is the Kings. The Kings ain't
Dang it. Maybe they can battle them in the lottery 20 years from now when the Kings are still there.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Take three, the case for Cade. Cavaliers Evan Mobley has been this year's frontrunner for Rookie of the Year, but Detroit's Cade Cunningham making a final push that could derail the vote. On Tuesday night, Cunningham matches career high with 34 points, scoring 29 of them in the second half, 17 in the fourth quarter, as the Nets needed 80 combined minutes from KD and Kyrie to hold off the Pistons 130 to 123. That's all without Jeremy Grant, who's done for the season. Cade was efficient, knocking down 13 of 24 shots, giving 6 assists as well. So far this season, Cunningham has scored 1,012 points, pulled down 338 rebounds, and doled out 328 assists. The only other player to record at least 1,000 points, 320 rebounds, 320 assists through 59 career games, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Luka Doncic, Alvin Adams, and Oscar Robertson. What a weird fucking stat that is. One last note, Evan Mobley sprained his left ankle on Monday, although x-rays came back negative. Marcus, has Cade made his case for Rookie of the Year in your estimation?
Oh, yeah. I was giving it to him already anyway, but I put the premium on the fact that the ball is in his hands. And even though he's got a veteran on the team in, Jeremy, and he's got a couple other pieces, like everything centers on him. And I feel like this Brooklyn game was a picture of what has been happening all season, but nobody saw because Detroit's terrible, which is probably why, you know, Evan Mobley is the favorite. But like, that thing was hinging on him, and it was KD, it was Kyrie, right? And it was, and Cade is like, yo, let's go. I got y'all. I'm taking these dudes. And they walked away respecting this guy. I think it's his user rating is like near 30.
Yeah.
You know, for a rookie, his usage rate is like that. That's really, high for a rookie.
And
rookie,
to be that
right?
good.
Like,
yeah.
Yes. And to be that good. Like, the ball is in his hands. Obviously, Evan Mobley has been great. Obviously, his team is better. But to me, there's just something about the pressure and the responsibility of saying, I got the ball, I'm dictating the show, I'm the focus of the defense, and really, there's not much else to make the defense say, I'm not going to focus on you. Whereas, you know, with the Cavs, you got to deal with Darius, right? Darius will light you up if you leave him alone. But you do have to deal with Mobley, but he doesn't have to be
Sadiq
Bey.
Sadiq Bey's pretty good. Dropped 51 in
Sadiq
a game.
Sadiq Bey, yeah. He is dropping 50, but is he dropping 50 because Cade is drawing all the attention? Gravity, Jared.
What is the ceiling for Cade Cunningham after we've seen him through, I don't know, what, 59 games at this point after that weird stat that Jade made me read?
I mean, the ceiling's the roof. I think we've been knowing this for a while now because I've been a huge Cade stan since he was like a junior at Montford. I love his game. I think what we're really seeing with his emergence is he just plays at his own pace. He's getting so strong and so balanced and confident in his handle and understanding where the defense is coming at him from now that he's in the league, where the defense is a little bit different or a lot different, that he just can kind of like walk through the lane and score at will. We saw him at the end of that Brooklyn game drive on Kevin Durant and crunch time a few times and just kind of like casually put up hooks or reverses. Like, he had full control of KD.
That reverse layup.
Yeah, that little jelly. Yeah, that was, yeah, he got some jelly on that bad boy. That's like a 7-foot legend guarding you there. I mean, that was incredible stuff. The way that I think he like picked up Andre Drummond on a switch and just stepped up into a three where he wasn't even squared up and he just had that fire. And, you know, when you're a ball handler that can get on those kind of streaks, that's like the most dangerous player in the NBA. So I think he's got MVP potential, even though I know a lot of people in like the scouting world were a little bit down on him hitting quite that ceiling. But I've always seen him that way. And I think we're starting to see that that is in there long term. But I don't think I would give him Rookie of the Year yet. Even though he's playing as the best rookie out there right now, but the body of work that Mobley and Scotty Barnes have from start to finish, and you know, Franz Wagner, but I think Orlando, they suck too much for him to get in there. But Arns and Mobley have been vital parts of turning around teams into like winning programs this year, that I would rather give it to them, because it's rare that we have a chance to give Rookie of the Year to someone who's impacting winning and driving a playoff team, and both those guys are doing it. So I'm like neck and neck, but I think I might actually have Barnes ahead of Mobley at this point.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I think that typically winner doesn't matter with this award, but I do think if all things are created equal, Marcus, that maybe should be a tiebreaker, right? Like doing it for a good team versus doing it for a bad team.
And I also think it's really good, especially for the discourse we have and how we view players, that guys start getting credit for being so great defensively. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like we can talk about, we can see Cade take over a game and we can see the evidence, but man, there's something special about the way Scottie Barnes makes dude not want to go against him. You know what I'm saying?
And the way Evan Mobley cleans up so much,
yeah,
right?
The way like Mobley just like, I mean, these dudes are, they're making winning plays on defense, like in high stakes situation, right? In high leverage moments. Like that's not nothing. That, and you know, as a basketball community, I think we are better for recognizing that. You know what I'm saying? Like Mobley will have 11 points and it won't even come close to showing you what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? Because Darius Garland can't guard anybody. Right?
But are you telling me the combination of Darius Garland and Chetty Osmond can't defend?
They look a whole lot better with the window cleaner back.
They sure
there,
do,
right?
Yeah.
Somebody they can count on, right? Like, and that to me, that's huge. And like Scottie Barnes is like, you don't see rookies say, "All right, you got LeBron," right?
Right.
You got,
yeah.
And it's a problem. Yeah. Like it's a problem. Not like, "All right, man, do your best, hang on." Yeah, they're not
good
like
luck
Jeff
out
Van
there,
Gundy
buddy.
Hanging
like,
onto the leg, right? Yeah, yeah. It's just like, nah, yeah, yo, what's the problem? You gotta like have a good game plan against Scottie Barnes. To me, that is also special. And I'm glad I would not be opposed at all. And I'm glad we're talking about that stuff, because that's hoop, man. That's basketball. Like that's the stuff we should be talking
for
about.
For once,
right,
we can say he's different because he's a rookie who plays defense. For once, that internet patois actually means something. All right, speaking of good defenders, take four. Oh no. Time Lord has no mercy. The Boston Celtics say center Time Lord, aka Robert Williams III, is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks after undergoing surgery to repair torn cartilage in his left knee. Williams, a staunch defender and possible defensive player of the year candidate, was averaging 10 points, 9.6 rebounds, and just over 2 blocks this season. The loss of Williams comes as Boston is making a push for the top playoff seed in the East. Celtics have won 24 of their last 29 games and are a game behind first place Miami as of this recording. Two teams play each other last night. And what a game it was, guys. Oh, my God. Can you believe, you know, Jimmy did the thing and then the Tatum did the thing and, you know, Marcus Smart was there and, you know, Max Strus was loose, guys, or maybe he wasn't. I don't know, because we're recording this, you know, midday on Wednesday. But many had Boston as a final sleeper prior to the injury. Now, I'm not so sure about that with Williams. Boston's starting five features Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and Al Horford had posted a plus 24.6 net rating in 21-22, the league's best. Jared, how far of a run can the Celtics make in the postseason without Williams? And if he does come back in the second round, do you expect him to be effective?
Mildly effective, I guess. They should be able to get to the second round. They should be able to stay around long enough to actually get him back. And the fact that he had the partial meniscectomy, or however you say it, that's huge, because he could be back basically by the start of the second round. And that way you can go into the series with the game plan you want. They need him. What's funny is they traded for Daniel Tice midseason, and everybody was saying, oh, it's a smart trade because you want to take on Daniel Tice's salary, because you never know if Al Horford or Rob Williams is going to get hurt. That seemed like a pretty excessive reason to get a guy that's making like $7 million to be your third string center. And it was right. It was actually a really smart trade. And so Tice, you know, he's not nearly as good as Rob, but like he could do a lot of the same kind of stuff. He's a similar style of player. He just does it like 5 feet closer to the floor. So they can pretty much continue to play the style of defense that they usually play. It's just like they're not going to be as good. And then when they get to the second round and they're facing probably one of like Miami, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, maybe Brooklyn, if they're fully real. So like those teams are so damn good that like I just can't imagine them beating those teams without Time Lord at like 90%. And I mean, what's good is when you have these partial knee meniscus repairs, usually people can start, like usually they walk out of the surgery or at least like walk out the next day. That's pretty common. You can start getting to full activity in a couple weeks and then you're usually good to go within 4 weeks, 5 weeks. So he might look pretty fine and just be really rusty and out of conditioning at that point.
Is this a worry though, real quick before we get to Marcus, is this a worry about him long-term though? Because this is a very short-sighted, you know, procedure to have. And typically this stuff, I feel like long-term does not benefit the player.
I mean, if it's a partial tear, then you kind of like that's the normal partial tear procedure is you just kind of cut out the part where the tear is and it reheals itself. You don't have to do a full suture everything back together kind of thing. So I assume this isn't like a temporary stay and then they're going to do the full surgery later, because if they did the full surgery later, he would miss the entirety of next season when the Celtics might even be better next season because it can hold the four together. A lot of their young guys are going to get better. So I don't think they would do it that way. So I don't think that they're compromising his long-term health because he's had so many health issues. And you have a player that with how much he's improved this year, he's on one of the best contracts in the league. He's only making like $12 million, and he's a defensive player of the year candidate who's also pretty effective on offense. Like that's pretty incredible value. So you don't want to risk that for a outside shot of winning the title.
Now, Marcus, you were asleep on the Bucks earlier in the show because you're just so excited and you're rooting for the Boston Celtics, as you mentioned. Jade, play the tape unless that's not exactly what he said, and then don't play the tape. Marcus, how do you feel about the Celtics after this Robert Williams III injury?
Oh, they're done.
Wow.
Oh, my God. The disrespect. Stole the ball for this?
Man, if only they had Bob Cousy right now.
Oh, my God. Work on their rebounding drills by having him shoot. Just want to remind everybody he was 10-17 in the playoffs until Bill Russell joined the team, and then he became a champion. Just want to remind everybody of that, okay? Not a big deal. Marcus, I'm sorry. Go ahead with your point.
Holy Cross Finals. Let's go, man. Stop hating.
It's like him and Bill Simmons. That's it.
You know what? Here's where I think they'll be. Here's one way they won't be fine. They might get Brooklyn in the first round.
Yeah, yep. That could be rough, right?
That's gonna suck. But if somehow they avoid that, I do think the way that they've committed on the perimeter, it feels like that's just how they play now, right? It feels like they've bought into that. And that's even if you don't have, like, you know, Williams back there, who had kind of really blossomed as this elite help defender. Even if you don't have that, you're still better for how you're playing. You still got Jason. You still got Jalen. You still got Smart, right? You got like three or four guys, you know, Neesmith. Like you got guys you could throw at guys. So I feel like as long as they compete on the wings, they're still better than most defenses. They just won't be the astronomically best defense in the league, right? They just
won't be holding the best defense in the league, points, right? Exactly.
Yeah, right. They'll just be a really good defense. So, and if which means they'll be in games, right? They'll be in games, and at that point, it's like, yo, Tatum, Jalen, bring it home. I feel like, yes, it will hurt, but the way they've locked in, just on the wings, especially the way those dudes lock in, I think that'll benefit them in the playoffs. And I don't see that changing because Williams went out.
Maybe this final stretch will give Jason Tatum an extra push for MVP. Speaking of Take 5.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The last straw. Oh. ESPN's Tim Bontemps conducted his annual MVP straw poll, and the results were released this week, and they were staggering. The outcome even shook the books in Vegas. Jay, play the tape.
I voted for Joel Embiid in our straw poll, and the reason those odds changed is because of our straw poll. Vegas knows how important that straw poll is. If you didn't have your vote, if you didn't have your bet in on Jokic before that straw poll came out, you got bad price today.
ESPN and Bontemps asked 100 media members to participate in an informal poll that mimics the postseason awards voting. Weird, as a voter for the awards and the real stuff, I didn't get asked. Spoiler alert. Good Lord, Tim, save it for later. Anyway, the straw poll is often a pretty good indication of where the MVP voting currently stands at the time. And in the latest installment, Nikola Jokic shook up the order. According to the results, it's a three-horse race between Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. By the way, Friday on The Athletic, check out updated MVP and awards rankings from yours truly. Jokic finished ahead of the pack with 62 first-place votes and a total of 860 voting points total, followed by Embiid, who had 29 first-place and 719 total points, and Giannis with 9 first-place votes and 593 total points. Marcus, did the straw voters get this right? Also, where's Devin Booker in this, huh?
Yeah, that's why they didn't get it right.
Down at 7.
By the way, check out The Athletic on Friday.
I'm part of the straw poll.
Oh, must be nice.
I've been part of straw poll the whole season.
Must be nice.
And you know who I put on my ballot every time, Jared? Devin Booker. I just remember the days where being the best player on the best team automatically got you a certain number of votes. But at some point, I guess we stopped that. I guess winning the most games in the league doesn't matter. I guess being the best player on the best team is kind of irrelevant now. I guess if you're a 6 seed and it looks sexy, now you're the MVP favorite, right? I guess if you're struggling to stay out of the play-in, but my goodness, you got great numbers, that's more valuable to being the best player on the best team in the game. This is disrespectful, and they got it wrong.
Jared?
You're making a good argument that we should have a most outstanding player award, kind of like the way the NFL does, like the offensive player of the year thing, just so we can recognize stuff like that. Because, I mean, Jokic's case is just like the team is garbage around him and he's holding up that team afloat. Because ironically, his numbers aren't as good as they were last season when he won it. But I think it's just you balance that with the fact that like his assist numbers, I think, are down. But also look who he's kicking it to. So, you know, that I like the way Embiid's playing a little bit better, but I'm pretty comfortable with the argument that just like the guy is keeping this roster in the playoffs, which is pretty unbelievable.
What about Giannis? Giannis with that big block on Embiid? I mean, that was a hell of a performance, Jared.
Giannis is putting a pretty compelling case together. I think we're going back to the rookie of the year thing. It's a totality of the season thing. You don't want to get too fixated on the end of the year, although it does matter a little bit more because people are paying attention to the standings a little bit more. The wins are a little bit harder to get. But like Embiid and Jokic, I think have just been carrying their teams above expectation a little bit longer than Giannis has been doing.
I would say this though, Giannis to start the season, you know, Brooke was out. Middleton, I think, was in health and safety protocols for a bit.
Drew missed some time. Like, you know, for a minute, it was just Giannis, Bobby Portis, and Marcus's favorite, Grayson Allen. Like, that was it for a minute, but maybe not quite as long as what those other guys have endured.
But people just don't like Milwaukee, the Bucks.
Well, you've been asleep on, like, you don't even remember they won the championship.
Nah, nah.
Because you were so pro Suns that you've just blocked it out of your head.
I remember what Giannis did to them in Game 6. I do remember that. I do remember that. I just don't think people like the Bucks. It's weird. Giannis has been incredible. And you know what? I was one of the people who were like, don't give this dude another postseason award until he shows up.
That is not how the regular season works.
And you know what? He showed up. So all that's got to be out. Like, we got to just recognize how great Giannis is.
And with that said, you said, don't give it to him. Give it to Devin Booker.
No, give it to give it to him. Devin Booker needs to be in this conversation.
You know what I'm mad about? Here, I'm going to rant for a second. All these talks about Defensive Player of the Year. Don't bleep this. Where the fuck is Mikal Bridges in all this? That's the best defender in the league because Draymond missed so much time. I'll say it. No one navigates screens the way he does. No one takes the opposing score the way he does. That dude is completely integral to what they do in Phoenix. By the way, Mark is the best team in the league. Huge.
Huge. But hey, you know, Rudy.
Dude, no way in hell you could give it to Rudy Gobert with the, just like, because people will fixate on the numbers and like, where's the defensive rating and stuff like that. Look at what we're talking about with this Jazz team. They keep collapsing. They're hating each other right now. You can't give an award to a player on a team where things are just completely crumbling. That's why, like, LeBron, with everything he's been putting up, like, nobody has him anywhere near the MVP right now.
Now that the all NBA, the NBA is like, oh, we don't know what to do here. You can make Embiid or Jokic a forward, right? Like, which is so just such a cop out. Like, no, just make it positionless or stick to the strict positions,
yeah,
right?
Position, though, you got to be strict.
Can
right?
I put like, Chris Paul as a center? Is that an option? Can I do that? Or no? Are we just not going to fully expand this make believe thing here? Mike Vorkunov had a great piece on The Athletic about this. And I'm curious with all this stuff, like, let's say that Embiid and Jokic do end up as first and second team centers. You know what's really going to piss the analytics community off and what's really going to piss Jazz fans off? You start making that argument about Karl Anthony Towns as third team center versus someone like Rudy Gobert. That's going to be tough, Marcus.
It will be fair. It would be righteous, right?
It'd be like, correct.
I mean, look, I get it. The dude's a good defender, but this, I can't, man. I can't keep doing this, man. Like, this is, it's crazy. Like, I watched teams take advantage of him. Like,
oh, it's not his fault, though.
You're not taking advantage of Mikal Bridges. Mm. It's not
You're not taking advantage of Marcus Smart.
You don't get
out of bio.
You know, you just, exactly, right? Like, come on. You could, all right, bam, get out here. He's like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Time Lord, get out here. All right. What you want to do? Like, but, you know, I don't know what it is about our community that we just get enamored with one guy like that. But there's no Mikal Bridges to be his defensive player of the year. Like, that Booker's not going to get MVP. Monty Williams is not going to get coach of the year.
What is he not?
Mikal Bridges is not going to get. Watch it. Go give it to somebody else.
Taylor Jenkins.
You know, coach of the year is like the rough and tumble. Like, who did the most with, like,
I mean, I do think, like, Ty Lue probably deserves it.
Ty Lue's been incredible.
Ty Lue probably deserves that thing.
Cavaliers coach.
Jamie Bickerstaff. Ime Udoka.
Right? You know, Ime Udoka. People have done great jobs. So, you know, but the idea that they are going to win, they're over 60 games, far and away the best team in the conference. And it'll be because Cam Payne was really good and Cam Johnson was really, not because any of these great players. That's just
before
wild.
We go, Jared, did Peyton Pritchard dropping 92 points in a pro-am ruin his career?
I mean, we'll see what happens when he drops 92 in an NBA game, but.
That's true. Yeah. You know what? That's fair.
I mean, this is the thing with the Boston fan base. These guys can do anything outside of the game, and the fans will hype them up like crazy. I remember Aaron Nesmith had, like, half a good game in Summer League, and there was talk about
he
should
he
be starting.
Practice. He had a good practice where he shot the ball. They're like, look out. Jay King's like, here comes Ricky Pierce. Here comes Dale Ellis. Like, watch out.
Ricky Pierce. Yo, remember when Dwight Howard said that he shot like 90% from the free throw line in practice? Yeah. Like, come on, the difference is astronomical. Neesmith can barely get on the floor. Pritchard was, I think that was definitely an issue for him for a while. But I mean, the dude's shooting well now, so he's fine. But like, he has to shoot 42% for three if he's going to be out there in the playoffs.
That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget, subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. No Dunks, What Did I Miss with Michelle Beadle, Warriors Plus Minus, Anything Is Potable, Down to Dunk, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, Forum Club, Game Notes, and everything else. For Jared Weiss, for Marcus Thompson, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time, and subscribe to the Athletic for the playoffs.
Beautiful.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.